Hello and welcome to Naboy, where we seek to demystify the illusion of aging through timeless wisdom. From the wellspring of vitality, we awaken to our boundless inner potential. Consciousness expands, transcending mere biology. This is not a journey of isolation, but one of divine union. Heart-centered love energy becomes the compass guiding us towards the infinite self and far beyond. I am your host, Peter Wynn. Thank you for joining me. Greetings, my dearest friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Naboy podcast. I do sincerely hope that I am once again finding you in good health and high spirits, engaging yourselves in lots of good humour and laughter. Ellen DeGeneres popularised a humorous anecdote about her grandmother. My grandmother started walking 5 miles a day when she was 60. She's 97 now, and we don't know where the heck she is. This fun joke plays on the unexpected twist. After decades of disciplined walking, the family has no idea where she is, turning a health-positive story into a light-hearted family mystery. It's a satirical take on aging, fitness routines, and the unpredictable nature of time, blending absurdity with warmth. Very good. Professor Roseanne Kenny at Trinity College Dublin, in her 4 scientifically proven ways to live longer, says, another factor is laughter, having a good laugh. Children laugh something like 400 times a day, but as we get older, we don't laugh as much. Having a good laugh can actually reduce stress levels, both autonomic system related, that's nervous system related stress levels and hormones, circulating stress hormones, and actually can decrease in people who have had a heart attack the recurrence of subsequent heart attacks. So make an effort to have a good laugh, whoever you're doing. Laughter is the best medicine. So there you have it, dear friends. Engage yourself in the fun, humorous side of things and make it a daily habit. I certainly do. And it is wonderful, even remarkable, what it can achieve in truly raising your spirits and your vibration. And to repeat and highlight Professor Roseanne Kenny's words, make an effort to have a good laugh, however you're doing. Laughter is the best medicine. This week, I am not actually at home. I am on the floor with my grandson, and not being confined to the rigid structures of adulthood, I lie upon the cool expanse of wood and carpet, lost in a realm where plastic animals roar with life. Trains whistle through imaginary tunnels and bridges arch over rivers made of crumpled paper. My grandson's laughter is my music. His boundless imagination the pure joy of presence. No past regrets, no future fears. We are two souls in a dance of creation, each moment expanding into infinity. In this childlike state, I do remember, freedom is not permission granted by institutions. It is the natural state of being. Meister Eckhart, mystic and Dominican theologian, 1260 to 1328, succinctly espoused, "The child within you is the father of all creation. Seek him, for he knows no fear." Lifting the rug on this concept, let us explore it a little further. The child here represents the unmediated self, free from mental constructs. Eckhart believed that true prayer and divine union come when we abide in this childlike state. At the core of human existence lies an irreducible truth. Children are not merely developing beings, but embodiments of pure divinity, untainted by the artificial constructs of modern society. The child's essence is a direct expression of consciousness itself, an unbroken connection to the source of creation, free from the distortions of ego, materialism, and institutionalized conditioning. This divine spark within children is what some traditions refer to as the Christ consciousness, Atman, or God's self, a state of pure awareness that exists beyond the limitations of human perception. The child's ability to perceive beyond material reality is not a limitation, but an expansion of consciousness. Their imaginations are not mere fantasies. They are portals into higher dimensions, where thoughts manifest instantly, where time is fluid, and where the separation between self and world dissolves. This is why ancient wisdom traditions revere children as gurus in miniature. They carry within them the same divine intelligence that founded civilizations, healed diseases, and created masterpieces before societal conditioning distorted their natural gifts. To truly see through the eyes of a child is to abandon the illusions of control, the belief in scarcity, fear of death, or the need for external validation. It is to experience reality as an interconnected web of life, where every action has consequence and every thought holds power. This is not naivety, but a return to original wisdom. When a child looks at nature, they do not see resources to exploit, they see living beings. When they interact with others, they do so from a place of unconditional love, not transactional exchange. Their dreams are not random neural firings. They are holographic communications from the subconscious and collective unconscious, revealing truths that adults have long since buried beneath layers of rationalization. For those who have lost this connection, whether through trauma, indoctrination, or systematic oppression, the inner child remains. This is not a psychological relic, but an eternal aspect of the self, waiting to be rediscovered. The inner child is the part that still believes in magic, that still hears the voice of intuition, and that remembers what it means to be free from fear. The modern world has regrettably engineered a culture of disconnection from nature, from truth, and from our own sacred selves. This separation is not accidental. It is a deliberate strategy to keep populations dependent, compliant, and spiritually bankrupt. Reconnecting with the inner child is an act of resistance against the systemic control. Children teach us that reality is fluid, not fixed. That love is the highest law. Truth is self-evident. Healing comes from within. And freedom is a birthright. When we honour the child's essence, not as a lesser version of adulthood, but as a higher expression of divine potential, we begin to see that our own inner child holds the key to true liberation. The child within us is not something to be buried. It is the very force that can restore humanity's lost connection to God. The child is not the future. The child is the present moment in its purest form. If we wish to understand what humanity could become, free, sovereign, and divinely connected, we need only look into the eyes of a child. For in those eyes lies the reflection of our own inner divine nature, waiting to be remembered. The path forward is clear. Reclaim your childlike essence. Reject the illusions that separate you from God. Trust in the universe's abundance, and above all, protect the children, because they are the ones who will lead humanity back into the light.
One, two, how are you?
Three, four,
five, and you?
Five, six, the time is it.
Seven, eight,
it's getting late.
Red, blue,
how old are you?
9, 10.
I'm 11.
12, 13.
What is your name?
14, 15.
Is my name.
16, 17.
How tall are you?
18, 19.
I'm 6'2".
20, 21.
Are you having fun?
30, 40.
I'm feeling sporty.
50, 60.
Tell me quickly.
70, 80.
Yes, no, or maybe.
90, 100.
Orange, yellow.
1,000, a million.
Green, purple, jello.
1, 2, how are you?
1, 2,
how are you? How are you?
There you are now. That's 1, 2, how are you? By Etienne from his album Grammar Jams. We always have so much fun with this song in the classroom. Forgive me for laughing, but it's great. The children love it. It has such a great, great upbeat energy to it. Wouldn't you agree? It's absolutely fantastic. Now, Isn't it lovely, dear friends, when you open your postbox and it reveals not another bill, but a surprise, a letter, a card, or perhaps a package tied with string. Now, be honest, isn't it really a joyous moment? This was once our default in the old days, before pixels replaced paper, before emojis became the sole language of love and longing. There existed an act of, say, a sacred effort to write by hand, to craft each word with intent, to choose stationery like a poet selects verse. This was not merely communication, it was an offering. Think of the person on the other side, their hand putting ink to paper, their heart beating as they sealed the envelope. The weight of words and feelings passing through them to you. Then a journey began, a walk to the post office in the morning light, coins clinking as stamps were bought, a physical act of love made tangible. And didn't I myself recently, dear friends, have the very good fortune to receive one of those joyous moments in the form of a package tied with a string, and within a most beautiful book from a dear old friend titled There's No Such Place as Far Away by Richard Bock. And from it, I would like to delve into a passage that, for me anyway, transcends the illusions of linear time and material limitations. One that invites us to reconsider our very origin and destiny. Words that are not merely philosophical musings, but a reminder of an ancient wisdom. We were never born, we do not die. Instead, we participate in an unending journey of consciousness through form. A cosmic adventure where separation is an illusion and every soul a fellow traveller. And so, my dear friends, from the pen of Richard Bock, authority on the boundless potential of human perception, we read. You have no birthday because you have always lived. You were never born and never will you die. You are not the child of the people you call mother and father, but our fellow adventurer on a bright journey to understand the things that are. This beautifully poetic passage jumped off the page at me. I instantly embraced its resonance. It is not nihilism or denial of individuality. It is liberation from the chains of fear-based conditioning. Consider for a moment, dear friends, the implications of this wondrous passage. If we have no beginning, then death becomes a transition, a shedding of one form to resume another. Birthdays are arbitrary milestones in a system of measure, not markers of creation. We did not emerge into existence, we recalled it. The human experience is less a linear progression than a spiral dance, an eternal return to wisdom through countless iterations. Bock's words echo the hermetic principle, as above, so below. If we are fellow adventurers with those we call family, then our relationships are not hierarchical, but symbiotic, each soul contributing to a shared awakening. The illusion of separation is perpetuated by systems designed to keep us in ignorance. Governments that demand obedience, corporations that sell sickness as health, and institutions that teach division rather than unity. But what does this mean for now, for the here and now reality we perceive? It means that every moment is a choice. Are you bound by the lies of scarcity, or do you recognize yourself as an infinite being, free to shape your experience? Are you waiting for permission from authorities who themselves are lost in illusion, or are you claiming sovereignty over your mind and body? The journey Bock describes is not just about understanding, it's about doing. If we have always lived, then every action, every thought, every word holds eternal consequence. The choices we make today ripple through time because there is no such place as far away. We are the architects of our experience. So how do we navigate this reality? How do we break free from the programming that tells us we are limited? Start by observing the patterns around you. Who benefits from keeping humanity asleep? Why is real knowledge, knowledge of natural health, consciousness, and true history suppressed? The systems designed to control us rely on fear. The fear of death, the fear of scarcity, the fear of the unknown. But if we are eternal beings on a bright journey, then fear has no power over us. We are not victims. We are co-creators. This broadcast is an invitation, an awakening call to remember who you truly are. You did not come here to be a slave to systems that profit from your suffering. You came here to explore, to learn, and to become. Your birthday was never recorded because it does not exist in the way you've been taught. You were born already, eternal, free, and boundless. In this journey, dear friends, we are not alone. The universe is conscious. Consciousness is all there is. And so, fellow adventurers, what will be your next bright step reclaiming your timeless existence? Thank you so much, dear friends, for listening to the Naboy podcast. If you feel this could benefit anyone in any way, please do pass it along. I would be most grateful. Thank you for joining me, and take very good care of yourselves today and always. Radiate love, and remember, the joy, love, peace, and fulfillment we long for already exist, dwelling within and awaiting our discovery.